Welcome to the 2018 Granite Threshing Bee and also to Grandview Covenant Church for this Sunday. We're glad to have you with us to fellowship, and we hope you might even feel special as we worship the Lord together. No matter where you attend, we appreciate you being here. Years ago, my wife and I experienced visiting a new church on our honeymoon in Hawaii. On that Sunday, we attended a church service, only now as a brand new married couple. It was a one-story building with lots of those Hawaiian swirly fans overhead. And as some churches do, they asked the congregation if there were any visitors to please stand. Well, being visitors and feeling rather special while on our honeymoon, we stood up, along with about 40% or more of the church. They then asked those on a honeymoon to stay standing. About 50% remained standing. I was shocked. I thought we might be the only honeymooners there. It was especially special for us when the children walked up and gave a shell lays and a kiss on the cheek. We really did feel special that day. Before I became a pastor, some of you might be aware, I taught graphics and printing for 20 years at a large community college of about 10,000 students. I heard of this one story of a college instructor giving his final test to his class of over 200 students. With that many students, no one is really too special. The class was on bird watching. One student, who always did fairly well on tests, was surprised to see that the final test wasn't composed of questions. Instead, he just had to match bird names with pictures of birds. But not the whole bird, just the legs. He couldn't believe it. How could anyone do that? After 15 minutes of trying to figure it out, he angrily stood up, wadded up the exam, throwing it against the wall, he started to walk out. The professor yelled out, "You there, what's your name?" The student, totally frustrated, he stopped. He turned around, he looked at the professor, he pulled up his pant legs and yelled back, "You tell me." On May 30th of this year, we witnessed the nation of Israel finally getting the recognition that Jerusalem was their capital. On that day, the United States opened their new embassy in Jerusalem. Also celebrated on that day was a birthday. 70 years before, the UN gave birth overnight to a new nation, the nation of Israel. The history and story of the modern nation of Israel is very adventurous. It's quite a journey for sure. But when I realize that Israel, who is a special nation in the eyes of God, is now 70 years old, it caused me to ponder the full story of the history, the full story in history of Israel, I should say. One very important person during a period in Israel's history, King Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Hezekiah became king at age 25. And different from most kings of his day, he was faithful, always seeking God's heart. All of the northern tribes and many of the people of Judah in that day worshipped everything but God. Kind of like today's world. Hezekiah had the courage to go out throughout his kingdom, destroying all the pagan idols, temples, and high places used to worship false gods. Scripture tells us that King Hezekiah was exceptional among the kings of Judah. 2 Kings 18:5 in the NIV reads, "Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him." Hezekiah had to learn on the run and at times made mistakes. One of those seemingly small mistakes wasn't so small. Hezekiah decided to join a coalition of small rebellious nations. Assyria at that time ruled the neighborhood and everyone paid yearly tribute for that privilege. The Assyrians were a powerful and even brutal nation with a massive army located across the desert, quite a ways east of Israel and Judah. There's a saying in Middle East history that when the cat's away, the mice will play. Assyria was a big cat, and Israel was a small mouse. the coalition, small nations, decided they didn't want to pay that yearly tribute, that tax, anymore. So Israel, Judah, and all those rebellious nations just stopped. A big cat will get angry if they aren't fed on a regular basis. The king of Assyria wasn't about to let the little rebel nations give him heartburn. As a demonstration of his power, strength, he put together and conducted a large military campaign to deal with all those little rebellious mouse nations. At the time, the 10 tribes of Israel made up the northern kingdom. And Judah, the southern kingdom, was made up of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with Hezekiah their king. The Assyrians attacked from the north, coming down and hitting the northern Israel tribes first. With almost a 250,000 man army, they came down from the north, and they wiped out everything in sight, every city, every farmhouse. Can you imagine? Almost 250,000 soldiers coming into our town, taking away everything they wanted, maybe including you. Just feeding a large troop like that would wipe out all the local supplies, both in stores and warehouses and in everyone's home. The Assyrian army came from the north, moving south along the coast, destroying whatever came in their way. Eventually, the final battle came to Jerusalem. You can imagine every Jew from both the north and the south that could escape had found refuge in the mountain city of Jerusalem, and that city was packed. The northern tribes had been totally destroyed. They would never again become a nation. Hezekiah had 3 to 4 years to prepare for what he knew was coming. He built many walls, temporary walls, and you can go to Jerusalem today and see some of those quick walls that Hezekiah threw together. He also secured water from inside the city. You can walk through that half-mile-long tunnel today. Hezekiah built many fortifications to secure his capital. How does one prepare, though, for a massive army to lay siege to your city? Hezekiah did all that could be done by human standards. He did everything he could think of to be ready for those Assyrians, and yet, when it came down to it, there was only one place he could go to really protect Jerusalem, and that is to God. When trouble comes into our lives, some folks get mad at God. Never understood that. Others turn to God as their creator, the Lord of all things, and ask for mercy. In God, the one true God alone, can we find real peace and everlasting security. The Assyrians are there surrounding the city of Jerusalem. They send a message into the city that it was useless to trust your God. We Assyrians are far more powerful than any God. We've destroyed every nation and every one of their false gods. We know, Judah, you just need to accept your fate. Hezekiah did what we all should do during times of trouble. He turned to God. With the city surrounded and supplies running out, Hezekiah went into the temple and laid out the message from the Assyrians. He laid it out before God. That was the same temple that Solomon built, which would be his great-great-great-great-grandfather. He bowed before God in that temple, knowing that all would soon be lost unless there was a miracle. Hezekiah pleaded his case. In 2 Kings 19, 15 through 19, we hear his prayer. I'm going to read it from the Message version. It reads, "And Hezekiah prayed. Oh, how he prayed! God, God of Israel, seated in majesty on the cherubim throne, you are the one and only God, sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, maker of heaven, maker of earth. Open your ears, God, and listen. Open your eyes and look. Look at this letter from Sennacherib, a brazen insult to the living God. The facts are true, O God. The kings of Assyria have laid waste countries and kingdoms. Huge bonfires they made of their gods. They're no gods, handmade from wood and stone. But now, O God, our God, save us from raw Assyrian power. make all the kingdoms on earth know that you are God, the one and only God. The prophet Isaiah, who you might have heard about, was alongside Hezekiah in those days, and he told them, "The Lord has heard your prayers and will answer it. You and all of Jerusalem will be protected." Listen to the awesome conclusion to this battle in 2 Kings 19:35 through 36 in the NIV. "That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 of the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. The king of the Assyrians would go home and carve into the walls of his temple the history of that conquest of all those rebel nations." You can see it today as it depicts that he conquered all those rebellious nations and, quote, "put Hezekiah into his mountain birdcage." People were fairly good at fake news and spinning even back in that day. So often, we think we're in control. We feel that we've done all that could be done to protect our families and ourselves. We know as Christians, we're God's people. He sees us as special, and that is correct. But the truth is, we're not God. We don't know the future. We're not all-powerful. In fact, we're often not faithful or true to God. What does the story of Hezekiah teach us today? Well, one aspect of the Midwest I enjoy are the farmers and their faith in God. Farmers know that they can only do so much to prepare for a good yield, but ultimately, the final outcome is well beyond their control. Many trust God to get them through the season in good or bad times. This perspective can be taken for granted. Each of us needs to turn to God in our own circumstances, asking Him to guide and protect us. Each of us needs to take the Word of God seriously, letting it light our path. Do we turn to God in trouble, or do we find we're so self-reliant and in control, we don't need God? Just a few weeks ago, our basement was flooded, like many homes in our town were. The water table rose higher than the drain fields, and what was normally gravity pulling in one direction was now going the opposite way. We were actually flooded three times that week. The first time was through the floor drain while we were out of town. Thankfully, the waters on their own had withdrawn back down. We came home to a mess and cleaned it up. The next day, water started to come up through the floor again. This time we saw it. But things quickly went out of control as the water kept coming. Thankfully, we have kind friends and neighbors who helped us deal with it. I thought things were good and in place. After this time, I built a dike around the drain, directing all the water that might come up over to the sump pump. We started to dry things out again. I went to sleep that night confident I had done everything I could. The next morning, I went downstairs to check things out. I was pretty sure I had prepared for whatever might come, but on this morning, I found even more water. The piping for the sump pump had come apart, shooting volumes of water outside of the dike. I had been so sure that I had done everything. I was in control, but the true reality was I had very little in control. We think we've done so much to protect and to defend ourselves and our families, but the truth is, as Hezekiah came to understand, we've very little in our control. We have all kinds of challenges in our lives, natural disasters, financial crisis, family problems, health issues. Yeah, we can put band-aids on some things, but ultimately, we can only do so much. We need to humble ourselves before God. He's the Creator, the Lord of all things. In Him and only in Him can we find real peace and security. Thankfully, God knows us and our needs. He knows our eternal destination is by default hell. We're all born into sin, and sin comes more than natural to us. God knew that. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to give His life for us on the cross. a pure life sacrificed just for us. It allows us to be in relationship with Him, a holy, pure, true God. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave, conquering death once and for all. Romans 10:10 tells us, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." Two simple steps. Believe and confess. Believe in your heart and confess your sins. We are special in God's eyes, but we're also fallen and in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus himself said in Matthew 18:28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." If you're interested in bringing rest to your soul, finding true peace and security in your life, I'd love to talk to you. I'll be here afterwards to pray and talk with anyone as you have need. Find me out, because you are special to God. He wants you to know that. But take the time to secure your relationship with Him today. That's the whole purpose the Bible was written. The whole reason Jesus Christ came to earth, to bring you into His kingdom. I can't say what the future will bring, but I do know who holds the future. Act. Take action today while you can. You will never regret it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for indeed loving us and treating us as special. We are your creation. We know we have sinned. We know we fall short. Sin comes so natural to us. We ask for your help, your assistance. And you actually heard us when we cried out with that and sent your Son to save us once and for all. Lord, thank you for that gift, that pure sacrificial gift that Jesus gave us. Help us now to understand how deeply you love us. Help us to find eternal peace and security in your arms. Encourage anyone who might be listening to come forward to find out more, to know for sure through your word that they can be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.